For the first message today, we'll be hearing from Mr. Chris Hancock.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Good afternoon, everyone. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of working with some friends of mine who are Pentecostal by persuasion, and I like them very much. I get on with them very well. They are quite tolerant of my idiosyncrasies, but they were feeling rather sad about my failure to have been born again. And no one likes to feel second class, no matter how much proof there is to that effect. And I looked again at where we are in our spiritual development, and I decided, no, I definitely was not yet born again. The first scripture I want us to consider is John's, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where Christ is approached by a Pharisee under secretive circumstance. This man was well thought of by the authorities, the religious authorities of his day. He didn't want to be seen dealing with Christ, but he knew who Christ was to a large extent. And in the conversation, Christ tells him in verse 3 of chapter 3, John, Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We, of course, look forward to seeing the kingdom of God, but my colleagues at work feel that they have already been born again. They felt that they have already received a baptism of the Spirit. They boast that they have had the manifestation of this by their ability in their services on the Sunday meetings they attend of speaking in tongues, of having a celebration, dancing, singing, some people even fainting in an ecstasy. Something which made listening to this made me feel terribly, terribly uncomfortable. Something I was rather pleased I had missed. If to receive God's baptism of the Spirit involves oblivion, being wiped out, lying flat on my back unconscious, I don't really want to experience that. They assured me the experience was better than any high from drugs or booze. I don't want to go into how much experience I have in those things, but I don't think God wants us to be so intoxicated by something we cannot think straight. Our understanding is based on truth, knowledge, and a sound mind. God is not the author of confusion. Looking back to the teachings and the explanation that we received over the last many years, let us consider a physical example to help us understand where we are in our progression. Let us look at the caterpillar. In a conversation before the service, we were reminded, personally reminded, how insignificant we are, and how Mr. Armstrong could view people and say, well, you think you're important, but seen from the air of a few feet, you are tiny. From a few thousand feet, you are barely discernible. And for the operating height of normal commercial aircraft, you are non-existent. Well, David called us, or called himself, I beg your pardon, he included himself, called himself a worm. So a caterpillar is a worm-like creature. My wife took some pleasure in saying some are bald, and some are hairy, and some are both. I think I may fit that latter description. Caterpillars are also remarkable that they are born to eat. They are born to grow in size at an incredible rate. They are good at eating and growing and eating and growing. Some of them are brightly colored. Some of them have the ability to project a nasty irritant smell. Some are well camouflaged and blend carefully, totally into their background, almost totally into their background. And of course others rely on danger displays to defend themselves. We are, in as Christians, the caterpillar stage of our development. We live, we breathe, we eat, we smell. Sometimes we make threatening gestures. But the next stage is when the caterpillar forms a chrysalis. It appears like a dried up leaf. It retreats for a short time or for a long time into a lifeless state, depending for concealment on its survival. It knows nothing, it does nothing. It's just attached to the underside of a leaf somewhere for the duration of that stage. It then awakens as a completely different creature, a beautiful butterfly, unfettered to the ground, able to float and waft around. Now, as all analogies will break down, the butterfly does not live forever. Let's look at our next scripture, please, in Revelation. Now let's move past that one. Let's go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Looking forward to part of our Christian development, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ," these Christian chrysalists, "shall arise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What is made when we are born again, I beg your pardon, and when we are born again, if we can now look back to where we started in John 3, when we are recreated, reborn, we will be completely different. Jesus, continuing his explanation to Nicodemus, who had the entirely physical attitude of how can I be born again, how can you get back to a mother's womb to be born again, and in verse 5 Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. For which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When we are caterpillars, we cannot say we are now born of the Spirit by being able to speak in gibberish or an obscure tongue. There won't be any question about whether we are born again. It won't be the topic of conversation around a cup of coffee on a building site. It won't be any doubt about who is a caterpillar and who is a butterfly, who is born of the flesh or who is born of the Spirit. We will not be constrained by the physical hold that is on us now. When Christ returns as the first of the first fruits, and we are first fruits and are reborn as spirit beings, there will be no question, there will be no need for discussion. It will be obvious and apparent. My friends felt sorry for me. I was on the defensive there because there was so little I could say. But I felt sorry for them that they were blinded, and they accepted a substitute, a counterfeit. They were convinced that they had arrived. They were born again. And yet they are so far short of the target that we all aspire to, when we will indeed be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit.